Hey, Tucson, you can still get your barbecue on at Ken's Hardwood Barbecue, 5250 East 22nd Street, offering our delicious award-winning brisket, ribs, southern fried catfish, down-home sides, and our full menu of homemade dishes for takeout. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on. Hello and welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, coming to you from the Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Studios here in Tucson, Arizona. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, and outdoor entertaining. It is our wish to help you develop your own style. Each week, we will share barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. We will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests, and we'll also answer questions posted on our website from the week before. And that's kenshardwoodbbq.com, and just click radio show. Welcome to the show. So today we're going to be talking beef ribs. We have a great guest on our show today. It's going to be coming up after the break. David Gonzalez from Arizona Barbecue Outfitters, a fantastic local company here in Tucson. He's going to share with us the great grills and barbecue and smokers that they make over there. So we'll be talking equipment after the break. So make sure you hang in there. And hey, special round of applause for my guest host today, the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones.
Hey, I'm back again.
All right. He's going to have an opportunity to sit in with us to talk about ribs.
Oh my gosh. Beef ribs are probably my favorite type of ribs.
Wow.
My mother, actually, she used to make beef ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always a surprise.
Wow,
it was always a surprise. And when we had it and she would just like unravel it from the aluminum foil, it was like, oh my gosh, it's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
They're so good. And to honor her, really, I want to know how to make it because.
Wow. Just think if you can put them on your grill.
Yes.
Get them. She would really be impressed.
I think so.
That would be a big surprise when you break out. Hey, mom, guess what?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm working to become the favorite son. You know, that's basically where I'm working on. So I think this is the next step to become the favorite son.
That's cool. We'll do our best to help you become the favorite son.
Yes. Right. Awesome.
So first up, we're going to talk about the beef spare ribs. And we're barbecuing here.
Right.
So we're still going low and slow.
This is low and slow.
Yeah, I'm going low and slow. You can go anywhere from 200, 225, somewhere in there, cooking these beef ribs. Just depends on how much time you have. So first off, we're going to start with the spare rib. And like we do on all spare ribs, is that we have to take off that membrane. And it's a little tougher when you're talking about beef ribs because the skin is a lot harder to pull off. But we use the same process. Take the butter knife, slip it under there, and then just
pull
that skin off. So the thing about beef ribs, though, they can be very tough. And a lot of people, and I've seen them even do this in the barbecue competitions, is as the ribs are approaching the right temperature is to take the ribs and wrap them in aluminum foil and put them back on the smoke.
Wow.
And then you let them finish up in the foil and that will make them very tender.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Especially the spare ribs. And the thing about the spare ribs, a big old bone and typically doesn't have a lot of meat on it.
No.
And I would never grill. When I say grill, fast.
Right.
Because I've seen, we used to go to this place in San Diego and outside, we used to go for happy hour and friends and I would go out there and at happy hour, there would be somebody out there with a grill, just grilling beef ribs.
No.
Now, the thing about it is folks are hungry, really hungry. Uh-huh. I mean, and they smell great, And yep. They have some sauces out there and everything. But you're talking about tough.
Uh-huh.
But people would buy them and they're sitting there gnawing on it. And it's not like a lot of meat on it anyway. And the meat on it was like really tough. So the thing is, if you don't want them to be tough, cook them at a lower temperature. Mm-hmm. And then as they are approaching, I would say maybe about 3/4 the way, take them, wrap them, let them finish up sealed in aluminum foil. Oh, wow. And then if you can take them out and let them, put them back on the grill for a minute and
there's your
aluminum foil. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want them there, but they'll be fine just when you unwrap them from aluminum foil. Oh, very tasty.
Got it.
Right. And the other thing is some people like to throw some sauce on their ribs and that. Same thing. Pull them out of the foil.
Right.
Let them sit back on the grill and you can take them and you could just brush some barbecue sauce and that on there. And, you know, just for a few minutes that way on the grill. And you're going to have a fantastic product for the beef spare ribs. With the beef short rib, pull off the membrane the same way as you would with the typical spare rib, seasoning it up. It's a lot more meat, very flavorful meat. And just like I was talking to you about the steaks last week, the ribeye steaks, we're talking about the same kind of flavorful meat.
Got
here it. With these short ribs. Get them on the grill. And as they get close to the temperature that you want them, and on the short ribs, you know, these ribs are really, you know, pork is ready.
Yeah.
Well, beef is ready at 145.
Oh, okay.
But you want these things to be tender. So I'm trying to get up probably again around 170 or something like that.
Wow. Okay.
You want these ribs to be very tender. You want these ribs to be very tender. So as they get to probably around, I would say 130, 140, that temperature, take those ribs and go ahead and seal those in aluminum foil and wrap them up and then get them to temperature. At that point, again, you can remove them from the foil just like we would do on the spare ribs. And you can just put them on the grill. And if you want to flavor them with your sauce or anything like that at that point. But those are for people that do like sauce, you know, or want a sauce, or they don't want their guests just to have the ribs on the side. But it's kind of whatever people are used to and whatever they enjoy. So if you want to sauce them on the grill, do it. Typically, that's the kind of stuff they do on these barbecue competitions because they are into sauce.
Right. Right. So, the flavor, the sauce.
The flavor of the sauce.
Yeah.
But that's basically your beef short rib. Again, just wrapping it is going to get it to the right tenderness that you want to see it. So, if you have any questions about the spare ribs or you have any questions about the beef short rib, feel free to leave them on our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com. Click radio show and you can leave your questions there.
Perfect. Now, how long do I cook the short ribs for or the beef ribs?
Yeah, so there's two different temperatures. There's
okay.
the temperature that you're cooking at, low and slow.
Uh-huh.
You could cook anywhere from 200 to 225.
Okay.
Cook these ribs. So that's where you're going to cook. But the important temperature is the temperature you're trying to reach so you know it's done or not.
Yeah.
And beef is done at 145.
Right.
So it's done, it's safe at 145, but it might not be the tenderness that you want at 145.
Got it.
So I'm trying to reach the 160s, 170.
Okay.
More the temperature when it's going to be. And I'm not a falling off the bone type of guy.
No?
No, not with my ribs. Ribs... To me, ribs should have a little pull.
Okay. All right.
Not just falling off the bone. They should have a little pull to them. And when you go to these barbecue competitions or you watch the ones on TV, that's what they say too.
Right.
They like a little pull on the rib.
Yeah, and just a little.
Yeah, then it's not just like disintegrating off. And a lot of people is like, fall off the bone ribs. And there's some companies and some restaurants that advertise fall off the bone ribs, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, you cooked them too long. So
that makes
anyway,
sense.
Anyway, but yeah, that's all you need to do right there. And you're going to have some great ribs. Just wrap them 3/4 of the way done.
Yeah.
Until they get there. And then they're going to be pretty tender. Wrap them, seal them tight.
Yeah.
And
double aluminum foil.
Like, yeah.
Kind of double it up.
Get some heavy duty aluminum foil, wrap them up, double them up. I do.
Yeah.
I like to double it up, make sure. And I put some folds in there. I don't just like wrap it, but I, you know, nice seal.
Yeah.
And wrap it up a couple of times, get them back on the smoker, and they'll be just fine.
Easy.
And they'll be very tender.
Mm.
And again, you're talking about your gas grill.
Yeah, right.
Just make sure you got some wood chips there. It's not always required.
Yeah.
If you want to get that smoky flavor, get those wood chips in there, get those in, but you'll do fine. And you could do that same process on your gas grill.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, how long would this take, you thinking?
A couple hours.
Yeah.
At least a couple hours.
Low and slow.
Low
and
slow.
May take a couple hours.
It just depends on the beef spare ribs are going to, they're going to be done a lot quicker than you would find the short rib.
Right. Okay.
So, yeah. So the beef spare ribs are going to get done a lot sooner than you would the short rib because it's less meat.
Right.
I'd say it depends on your equipment, the grill, anywhere from 2 to 3 hours.
Okay.
I think you should do, especially if you wrap it, you should be fine.
That's awesome. I can't wait to cook them. That's going to, oh my gosh. That'd be so much fun to have them and be like, mother, look. You look what your favorite child has given you.
Right. Big surprise.
Exactly. Surprise.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Jones. It's time for us to take a break. Hang in there. When we come back, we're going to answer a question from one of our listeners, and then we're going to check in with Dr. Jones and see how he did last week on those steaks. You're listening to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. We will be right back.
We here at Octavia Social Media Strategy support the brave men and women who risk their lives on the front line of this coronavirus. We ask that everybody protect themselves and each other by following all the basic steps necessary to curb this disease. Remember to wash your hands and wear your mask at all times because family and friends are the most important gifts on earth. Please visit our website at www.octavia.social to help join us in this effort. We look forward to working with you. And when it comes to social media, let us help you be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Welcome back from the break. You're listening to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. And now it's that time again to check in with our pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones.
Oh, man. Ken, I have a true story of the true story of a true story that I have to tell in story form.
In story form. All right, Dr. Jones. We've been looking forward to hearing your steak story.
All right. This is my great steak adventure. First of all, I had to figure out what steaks look like because apparently I didn't know. So I went to the store and I was looking for ribeye steak. And I'm like, where's the ribeye steak? I don't see it. I don't. So I walked over to the meat deli specialist. That's what I'm going to call him, the meat deli specialist. Yeah, And he's like, oh, here's the grill section. So I got the holy grail of grill section. I'm like, all of this is for grilling? He's like, everything here is for grilling. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's not just that one little section over there. It's all of this. This is awesome. So I'm like, okay, I need some ribeye. He's like, boneless or bone in? I'm like, oh, bone in.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah. Bone in for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Flavor pack.
Oh, my
flavor.
Gosh. So much flavor. So I get it. Also, it's quite expensive. I didn't expect it to be so expensive. I was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot for some. Just like two things of steak.
Well, yeah, unless you catch them on sale, you can pay a lot for them.
Yeah, note to self.
Yeah, beef prices are still up there.
Not a lie. So I grabbed two steaks and I get home and tell my daughter, hey, I'm going to make some steak. She's like, and baked potato? I'm like, oh, no. I never made baked potatoes in my life. So I go back to the store.
Right.
Buy some potatoes. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm calling my mother. Mother, I want to let you know that I'm making steaks right now.
Wow.
Oh, are you? I'm like, yes. This is not an invitation to come over. This is me telling you. I am making steaks.
Information only.
That's it. So I asked my mother, how do I cook baked potatoes? So she told me how to make baked potatoes, which are simple, easy. That's like the easiest thing in the whole wide world to make. It's so, and they're so good at the end.
Right.
And I forgot about it, apparently. Put the baked potatoes in, and I was like, okay, now for the steak. She's like, well, make sure you marinate the steak.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I did.
Yeah.
I got the steaks.
Mm-hmm.
They look delicious just right there. But I got some seasoning on there.
Right.
Right. Seasoning, yeah. So I put the meat tenderizer on it.
Did you say meat tenderizer?
I did say meat tenderizer.
Are you talking about the kind of like meat tenderizer in a little...
The little bottles.
Bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she said to put meat tenderizer on it. And I was like...
I mean, there are some people that do that. No, meat tenderizer is a no-no.
Like the forks.
Like the fork. Meat tenderizer is a no-no, just like the fork. We don't need to break our meat down with... meat tenderizer.
Got it.
Not a,
throw it away, in other words?
I wouldn't use it.
All right. I'll just throw it away.
Not need it. Not need it. No. The steaks, they'll be fine. Those ribeyes will be fine without meat tenderizer.
Got it. All right. For my real trial run, yeah,
we're talking about real seasonings. We're not talking about something to try to break down the meat.
Yeah.
We don't need anything to break down the meat.
Got it. All right. So
unless you're buying, you know, some yak steaks or something like that, maybe you want to use some meat tenderizer. Yeah, you know, some wildebeest steaks or whatever. But just for the ribeyes that you bought from the meat, from the grocery store, you'll be fine. Not needed.
All right. All right. I'll throw it away. I won't use it again. I did put some Mystique seasoning on there.
All right.
So that gave it a good flavor to it.
Yeah.
A little salt and pepper here.
Yeah. Okay.
And then after that, it was on to the grill, you know, grab the apron, put the apron on.
Yeah.
Grab the cream soda in hand.
All right.
And I went out to my grill and put the steaks on. And they actually cooked really quick.
Wow.
Like you said, this is fast. This is really fast.
Yes. Fast, high heat. You want to seal those juices in there with the high heat, and they really don't take that long.
No, not at all. Not at all. My daughter actually came out at one time. She's like, oh my gosh, that smells so good. I'm like, I know. I'm getting there.
Right.
And meanwhile, I'm still talking to my mother.
Right.
It's like, Mom, these are looking good. These are looking good. Oh yeah, they smell great, mother. They're smelling good. It's really good. Yeah, torturing my mother, right?
Right.
I'm trying to be the favorite son, and I'm torturing my mother with how great these steaks are.
Right.
So they cook. I get done. I put them on the plate. I bring them in. I let them rest for a little bit.
I'm just
excited. I take a picture. I send them to you so that way you could see them.
It was a great picture. I said, wow, those steaks really look good.
Oh my gosh. And then I got to sit down and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
While talking to my mother.
Wow.
Because that's how mean I am, I guess.
Yeah, right. No invitation.
No invitation.
Hey, Mom, the steaks are...
Exactly. The steaks are so good. Mm-hmm. It was really good. And I cooked some to 145.
Right.
I cooked some to 135 just to kind of see the difference. I was kind of playing around with it. And some were well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not well done. Sorry. Some were medium rare. Majority of them were medium rare. I had one that was... a little pink, a little bit more pink, but it was like a good variety of steaks, which was really nice. And what I didn't know that some of my daughter's friends liked it a little bit more pink than the well done. So it worked out. Everyone had their favorite steak and I didn't mean to.
Right.
And so, sure enough, the girls came out as soon as everything was ready and everyone ate all the steaks.
Wow.
Steaks, potatoes, everything was all gone.
That's a sign of what a cook wants to see.
Exactly.
Folks enjoying their food and it's all gone.
It was quiet in my house for like a good 30 minutes.
Right.
No one was saying anything other than me talking to my mother and telling her how good the steaks were.
Well, that's great, Dr. Jones. That's great.
Yeah. It came out really good. It was, it wasn't like tough, but it wasn't like falling off the bone. It was like right in that perfect middle there. Juicy, just so good.
That was great practice there.
Yeah.
So now the big event is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah. We got the birthday party tomorrow.
Birthday party.
With friends over. I better get a coupon or something to get all these steaks. That's going to be an expensive steak.
Well, the thing is, the holiday's coming up.
Oh.
So normally what you do is somebody will have them on sale. Just look in the paper or just go online. there's a grocery store app that you can get that shows coupons and what's on sale. And you just get this app. I forget what it is at the moment.
Yeah.
But I have it on my phone. Just get that app and you just type in ribeye steaks. And anybody that's having a sale on ribeye steaks, their sale will come up.
Oh, perfect.
Their page will come up. And then you just, that's where you go to buy your steaks. But I find them on sale a lot.
Okay.
It just depends, you know, the grocery stores kind of rotate around. But
sure.
Yeah, you can get them at a pretty reasonable price if you just kind of watch. And the other thing is that when you do see it and you know you want steaks, then you may want to buy some and just toss them in the freezer.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see steaks in my freezer when usually I just have hamburger meat and that's
it. Right. Hey, yeah, you're up in your game.
I am.
Yeah,
I am.
Yeah.
What happened to, what did you do to me? Who am I? I'm becoming the family pit master.
Right. So you have steaks tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? And guess you got your mom. I heard you mention your mom.
Yes.
I heard you mention your daughter.
Yep.
Some friends.
They have their friends over. And
what about your date?
Oh,
I have not mentioned the date, Dr. Jones.
I got 24 hours. Got 24 hours to find a date.
Oh, wow.
It'll be done. I don't, wow. It's going to be a, ooh. She's going to have to meet my kid
and my mom and
my cooking all at the same time.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
just a little bit. I should probably preference this before she shows up.
All right. Yeah. Maybe so. At least just give her a little notice.
Heads up.
Who to expect. A little heads up. Yeah.
And then on Friday, my mother, her and my daughter are going to go get their nails done because it's her birthday.
Oh, okay.
And then she was like, oh, and then I'm going to come over for lunch and you're going to grill something for me. I'm like, oh, sure.
Yeah, that's another sign that, you know, your pit master skills are improving. Yes. And now folks are saying, hey, can you barbecue something for me? Can you grill something for me?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. My apron is coming to good use. I'm going to have to stock up some more cream sodas, though. I'm kind of running low. Yeah.
Well, that's fantastic, Dr. Jones. Really appreciate the update. And I'm sure I and the listening audience are all anxious to hear how this Labor Day event goes.
Oh, so we say a prayer.
We will check in with you next week.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, now it's time for us to take a break. But when we return, we're going to be bringing you the good news. We have David Gonzalez from Arizona Barbecue Outfitters. He's going to be talking to us about grills, outdoor kitchens, and it's going to be a great conversation. So stick around. We'll see you on the other side. This is Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Ken's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on. Welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken on KVOI 1030 The Voice. I am here bringing you the good news with a very special guest. We have David Gonzalez. He is here from Arizona Barbecue Outfitters. David is the owner and operator of Arizona Barbecue Outfitters. David, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, man. Great to be talking with you.
We touched base a while back and we've been exchanging phone calls. I've been really anxious to have you on our show and talk to our guests about what you do and what Arizona Barbecue Outfitters does. But first up, you know, just tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was raised in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, wow.
And so grew up there. I was actually born in Canada. My dad was in the Air Force and we relocated to Nashville where I grew up.
Hey.
Moved out, went to college. Did all kinds of stuff. Joined the military in 83.
So where'd
you Army guy?
Where'd you go to college? Did you go to college in Tennessee?
I did. I went to Middle Tennessee State University.
Oh wow! You know, I went to Moorhead, yeah. So we used to go.
Oh, look at that!
We used to go down. Yeah. We used to go down there and play Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So yeah, I graduated. I went to the Army first and graduated from college afterwards.
Oh yeah, I did the same thing. But okay.
Yeah, I joined the government. Keep it at that, and moved out to San Diego, started working there. That brought me out to Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd worked for the same organization here in Tucson. And also, I fly for the U.S. Air Force Reservist.
Oh, wow.
I've been doing combat search and rescue since probably 2003.
Yeah.
And I've had three deployments to Afghanistan. So good times, and always good to go out there and bring the boys back out of harm's way. So it's been a real blessing in my heart to be able to do that. And then I started Arizona Barbecue Outfitters.
Okay. Well, I'd like to say thank you for your service. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a pleasure to go out and support and do things for our nation. It's a great nation.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So Arizona Barbecue Outfitters, you started that out here in Tucson?
I did.
And
what
is Arizona Barbecue Outfitters all about?
So Arizona Barbecue Outfitters started because I bought a grill at a Stevensy. It was like a Santa Maria style grill. It was built okay. It lasted a little while. And when it finally gave out, that's where Arizona Barbecue Outfitters came into play because I was like, well, maybe I can design and build a better grill.
Yes.
And it started out with this a simple Santa Maria style grill. Where the grate just elevates up and down and the fire stays put. And over the years, it developed from not my input per se, but from a lot of customers saying, hey, can you do this? And I'm, you know, being me, I'm like, well, yeah, maybe we can. And I would sit down and draw it out. You know, I learned computer aided drafting in college, and I would sit on the computer, kind of work through it. And if I got the bugs worked out, you know, and it seemed like it was a good concept, we would put it together. And, what really lifted the company off the ground was when we came up with a grill we called the Scottsdale Cooker. It's a Santa Maria style grill with a lid on it.
Okay.
And we sent it up to a gentleman by the name of Rob Green. The first one went out to him. He put it on his website and did the very first review. It launched it out of my garage into a bigger area to build where I would be more, I would consider, you know, in the manufacturing mode versus being in my garage, making a couple here and there. But yeah, so we set out, and Arizona Barbecue Outfitters is about building a heavy duty grill that's going to last you a very long time. And it's going to produce outstanding barbecue every time you use it. You know, that's kind of our mission statement, is just to meet the customer's expectations, if not exceeding it.
Right. So you talked about the Santa Maria type grill, and the originals were based on that. So you're still doing that model, or you have other
models? We are. Right. Yeah, we've done a lot of different ones, and all of our grills they're named after places in Tucson. That's what the Tuscan is. The Tuscan is just a simple Santa Maria grill, and then we got the Scottsdale Cooker, which is just the Tuscan, a little more upgraded with a lid on it. And we have the Boot Hill Cooker. It's a cross between a grill and a reverse flow smoker.
Okay. You know,
and we had the Tombstone Barbecue Pit, which is a Scottsdale cooker with a vertical style smoker on it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I thought it would be kind of neat. We have the Sedona Barbecue Pit too. So all the pits are named after some place here in Arizona. And that's been a lot of fun just figuring out what we're going to name them. The other part to it is they all perform really well.
Okay, yeah. The Tombstone Cooker, that looks like a beast. It's got a big smoker on the side and a smoker box. And so,
yeah, it is a beast, weighing in at about 1,100 pounds. So once you get it to where you put it at, you're probably not going to want to move it too much more, but it does roll around a little bit.
So what got you into barbecuing? When did you?
Oh, man. I mean, I grew up on barbecue. We were grilling out burgers, people around Nashville, you know, just all our friends. We always had something going on the weekend. I wasn't much into smoking. It was more probably into, you know, grilling burgers and hot dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, my whole life, man, I've been around barbecue. And then, you know, around Nashville, you got some of the most outstanding barbecue places. Clearview Cafe, it's a kind of a soul food place, but they have the best barbecue chicken and meatloaf and Yeah. There's all kinds of good food in there, man. So yeah, I grew up around food. When I got here to Tucson, that was what we did. When I got home from work, we never went into the house to fire up the stove. We went outside and fired up the grill.
Yeah, especially in the summertime. Yeah. You don't want to heat that
kitchen. Oh, you know it. Heats that house up, man. Yeah, you don't want to go in there and turn that stove up.
Right.
So I've always been a connoisseur of just grilling. I just like making burgers, hot dogs, or whatever you could put on there. That was, you know, back in my younger days, it was easy to do. Quit food while I was in college and stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, as I got a little older, I got a little more experimenting, and which kind of led into the grill, the Santa Maria Grill, which originated out of Santa Maria, California.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about cooking tri-tip.
Right.
High and low, I guess you would call it.
Right.
Slow. But yeah. You keep it elevated of a nice hot fire and you let that thing go. And that's, you know, the tri-tip. I could talk all day about it. And doing the grills, you know, you kind of figure out, well, this grill does this pretty good. And what else can I do on a grill? And that's what pushed our grills that we make to, like, can you do a pizza on it? You know, can you do a 20-inch pizza on a nice pizza stone? Put out a product that's just mouthwatering when you're done. And yeah, we did it. We made dessert pizzas. We made pepperoni pizzas, all kinds of cool stuff. And I'm not saying that you got to go out and get an expensive grill. Any grill you can do things with. I think the better the grill is at holding heat and things, the more you can do with it. Or you can go get a grill from somewhere and modify it a little bit and make it hold heat a little better. It might not last as long. It's not going to be really thick metal. But not only is it a great place to do food, it's a conversation in the backyard with the family. This is a great place to be around when it's going.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about getting people together and, you know.
Yeah,
and
it's family, man.
Enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
I see that Santa Maria smoker, I mean, in the design, and you talked about tri-tips. I know a lot of folks that do tri-tips on that type of grill where you can raise and lower the cooking surface. And when I look at your grills, they seem to have a lot of versatility because once you put that top on there, that allows you to really control the fire, especially when you want to cook big pieces of meat like brisket or whatever, you really want to smoke them. So is that why you added the top? You didn't have the top at first.
No, so a traditional Santa Maria grill doesn't have a lid on it.
Right.
You know, so yeah, it just doesn't. That's just not how they're made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're made to have wood fires inside of them.
Right.
Well, what prompted the lid was clients, you know, people that call me up. They're like, man, can you make one and put a lid on it?
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge wasn't just sticking a lid on it. It was like, well, how do you elevate the grate up and down with that lid? Because you got these wires that come down.
Right.
To grab, you know, the grate, but you can't have the wires anywhere near the lid. So they got to be outside of that area and outside of the lifting arms that bring the grate up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So once we kind of cracked that egg on how to do it, you know, then that lid brought in so much more to that grill that we just were not aware of the possibilities with it. That's what brought on being able to do a pizza. So that, you know, the Santa Maria grill in itself, it has, like, we put rotisserie systems on it.
Mm-hmm.
That you can elevate, you know, we get guys that will do like a small pig or, just all kinds of different meat, but you put the rotisserie add like a whole new elevation to it, man.
Right. Hey, David, it's time for us to take a break now. We're going to come right back to that rotisserie and those turkeys in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Octavia Social Media Strategies is a digital marketing firm that has the perfect solutions for your services. We offer website development, social media marketing, and video marketing to ensure your business a winning edge amongst competitors. We are a proud, locally Black-owned business serving the Tucson area, and we are offering a special for you, a free digital marketing assessment. All you have to do is contact us at 520-777-3540. That is 520-777-3540. Or visit us at www.octavia.social. We are an entrepreneur's first choice to be seen, be known, and be the expert.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I am here with David Gonzalez, and we're talking about barbecue. He's from Arizona Barbecue Outfitters, and we just left the show. We were talking about the rotisserie attachment, and he was talking about rotisserie turkeys. So David, so you have that rotisserie attachment. So is it like battery operated? How does it turn?
Well, so it's operated by 110 bolt outlet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different rotisserie systems out there. And we found a company, we found two companies actually that we use. Yeah. So one's, it's either One Grill or Grill One. Mm-hmm. And they're on Amazon, and they make a nice unit. So the thing with the units are, you know, how much meat can that particular spit turn? Yeah. If you got like a 48 inch grill and you plan on doing a small pig, you need something that could probably turn about 80 pounds, which comes into another one that we've used by Spitjack. And Spitjack, they're out of the upper northeast around Massachusetts area. And his spits will turn about 100 to 150 pound animal. And in our grill, I mean, I doubt you could get anything in there that big, but a lot of guys, you know how men are, we all like heavy yeah. duty that's going to do everything.
Right.
But really cool, you know, you could go out in your backyard and build a fire pit and put that over there and do a full hog. But we've incorporated the One Grill and the Spitjack units into our grills. So that clients, you know, that order like a 60 inch grill from the Santa Maria Cell Grill, then they can put that big spit on there and do a large animal. Mm-hmm. But then if you're just in your backyard, you know, and you're just got a few friends over, but you want to do that small suckling pig or lamb or whatever, you know, you can put it on the smaller rotisserie units, you know, and have a really good presentation when your friends and family are over. But yeah, the rotisserie does bring a whole different aspect to it because it really takes a lot of the work out. You don't want the fire directly up underneath the meat. You kind of want it about 8 inches above the fire and the fire to the backside so that the grease and things don't drip on it.
Right.
But it always goes back to the fire. It's fire maintenance. Yeah. You know, how well do you manage it? One of the keys, like, you know, you had mentioned about the lid that we put on the grill and, you know, the way it kind of became a game changer for the grill. But the other thing that it grates that are inside our grill, most grills have like a solid round or like a diamond shaped grate.
Right.
So you just set your meat on there. So all of your grease drippings are falling into the fire. And I grew up watching my dad with the water bottle in his hand and the burgers on fire. Well, the grates that we have in here, they're based on an Argentine or Gaucho style of grilling. If you went down, you know, down South America and you saw in like one of the meat markets, they'll have these grates that are kind of elevated. I don't know what pitch they would be at, but the back is higher than the front and they're V-shaped. So when you put that meat on there, whatever you put on there, that grease, the majority of it's being captured into the V-grate and then it's filtering down to an area where the grease is taken from the fire area. So now you're capturing it in like a trough in the front of the grill.
Yeah, so our grills, less opportunity yeah. for flare-ups then.
Exactly. So like our grates, you could put a bunch of chicken, and we all know how chicken is. It's yeah. going to catch on fire. Yeah. The skin's going to go. But, you know, we'll sit there and we'll put the seasonings, get everything ready. You know, we'll get the grill. The fire's good. The coals are spread out. You put that chicken on there, and then you close that lid, and you elevate that grate up inside the lid. We might come back in about 10, 15 minutes and flip them. Nothing's catching on fire because all of that grease from that meat is filtered into that trough, and you just end up with perfectly grilled chicken. It's just awesome. You know, you can just walk away from it and not even have to worry about it. So the grates that we use inside of our grill are probably a really big player in how the grill functions and that it keeps the grease away from what you're grilling. Now, some people want that grease and want that smoky grease flavor in there, but sometimes too much grease can cause a bit of a bad taste in the meat. So it's good to get a little, you know, the majority of it out of there. Yeah. Then it also has a lot to do too with like the briquettes you use or the wood. If you're using apple, cherry, hickory, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. My favorite is mesquite. I don't know why, but I love mesquite wood. It just leaves an awesome flavor in the meat.
So your grills are set up for what type of fuel?
Set up for about anything. So, you know, you can use wood in it. You mm-hmm. can use charcoal. You can use lump charcoal or lump wood.
Yeah.
But it'll pretty much handle anything. The metal is 3/16 thick.
Yeah.
They're built real robust. If you put the fire in there, the only thing you don't want to do with the fire is say you put your logs or you put your, you know, whatever against the very back of the grill. And now the fire is lapping on the metal. Yeah, the metal is going to get hot. Probably going to warp it at that point. As long as you keep your fire on your charcoal grate, you can build a good wood fire. We had a client call us up and, you know, he just got a Scottsdale. He's all excited. He's like, man, I got this thing. And he goes, but the paint melted off the vents. I'm sitting there like, which vents? And there's all the vents on top of the lid. I was like, well, how hot did you get it? He's like, well, I put the fire in there and then I closed the lid and the flames are shooting out of the lid. And I was like, man, So we sent him out a couple of new vents, and then we talked to him about fire management. And I recommended him getting that book, Seven Fires.
Right.
So the grills themselves, you know, kind of, we listen to what our clients are looking for, and clients are great mothers of invention because they'll come to you with an idea. They don't know how to approach it.
Yeah.
You know, you might tell them, hey, I can't do that. And then later on, while I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, oh, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, you think,
and,
wow,
you know,
that's a good idea. Why not think of that? I've been looking at your grills on the website, and I'm more of the tombstone guy because you got that little smoker on the side. I mean, it looks like it's the Scottsdale with a smoke box on the side.
And that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, I'm looking like that's my grill right there.
So that tombstone is a Chiricahua smoker and then a Scottsdale. And we were just sitting around. I'm like, well, man, what are we going to call this thing? And I don't know why tombstone, you know, the Chiricahua Mountains are out there by tombstone. And
right.
I'm like, you know what? Tombstone sounds pretty darn good. You know, the smoker itself, any vertical smoker that you purchase,
right.
All of them have temperature differentials. So, you know, the firebox is mounted to the bottom of the thing, got the smoke rising up. So from the bottom shelf to the top of that smoker, and our smokers in particular, you have about a 15 degree temperature change.
Right.
And all that means is that's one more beer. You walk out there. Yeah. You pull that bottom shell off the rack. You put it on the top. You put the top on the bottom. So you rotate your shelves.
There you go.
And that's what smoking means. To me, it's about being out there and working with the meat, watching it. You know, when is that brisket going to reach 180 and that fat inside of it's going to congeal, and I'm going to get that really, really soft brisket.
Right.
So whenever you build something, you always think, how can I make it a little bit better?
Right.
That's me. That's just my nature. So how can I do that a bit better? And one of the big things for anybody that's out looking and they're like, I'm going to go out and buy me a rotisserie because I want to go around and make barbecue and sell barbecue or cater events. When you look at a rotisserie unit, to me, the biggest thing in them is the shelving itself. So as the shelves rotate, you can imagine like you got a 6-shelf system. One shelf is going to pass the other shelf at some point during the rotation. And what we found was the 6-shelf system, if you had a pork butt on there or anything that was a little bit higher than maybe 3 or 4 inches, the back shelf's going to hit that meat in the front. And then it's going to spill into the bottom of the smoker if it doesn't get caught up and rip the smoker apart. Now you got a few pork butts in the bottom of your smoker. You got a fresh fire. You got smoke coming out the door and you're trying to reach in there and get it out. And I don't know if you've been there, man, but it sucks.
Right.
I've
used Southern Pride rotisserie smokers
Southern Pride.
For quite some time. That's what we use at the restaurant. And so I'm very familiar with rotisserie smokers, and I'm very familiar in the case when you have an issue with a rack and it comes off.
That's what we know. So we set out, and we've got a group out in California that feeds folks that are hardworking, but they just can't feed the family.
All right.
And his organization out there, they go around and they do all kinds of stuff. He's nonprofit. Yeah, he's just out there helping out the folks. So he came to us and we sat down and we wanted to make sure that we could build Keith something that he didn't have to go out there and he could turn it on reliably and leave it alone.
Right.
And
right.
And that came with the redesigning of our smoker, that rotisserie. So what we did is we moved, instead of putting the exhaust on the top where the heat just generally goes right out, we moved the exhaust exits to the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So now the heat has to work its way out. But this thing, I did a 7-hour rib smoke. We did 36 racks of ribs right around the holidays for all the folks here in our complex where our building is located.
Wow.
Yeah, man, we did it with 30 pounds of fuel, 30 pounds of wood. Didn't have to hardly do nothing. You know, you go out there and put a little fire in it, you set those vents up, get that draw right.
Man.
And that thing ran like clockwork. But what we finally kind of got into with help from a gentleman down in Texas is we set these grills up where they're gas and wood. So, you know, you go in there with your wood, you let the gas burner start the wood. That gets the smoke flavor in the meat. It takes about, you know, 45 minutes. Generally, that's about as much as that meat's going to handle. And then you just hit the gas at that point and let it roll. We have them set up where they're gas wood, where they're just strictly wood for the traditional stick burner guys. Granted, we talked to a lot of folks that are hardcore. They don't do nothing but stick burn. That's what they do, man. They don't want to hear gas. They don't want to hear pellet.
Yeah, when you're talking competition, they have to use wood or charcoal. And in the competitions, and I've seen where they've converted some of those other commercials to just stick burn or whatever, so they can compete with them. But yeah, so but most of the commercial for restaurants and those, a lot of those rotisserie style do have some type of gas component with a wood box.
So, and that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to build something that you didn't go out and do a $35,000-$40,000 investment in. We wanted to make something that, you know, the guy or the mom and pop shop that's just coming up, they can still get all the same benefits that you would with a more expensive smoker, but you're spending a third the cost to get one and you're getting the same benefit.
Yeah, because they're pricey.
they're up there all right. You know, we kind of did that, but to this day our main focus is the guy in the backyard.
Okay, great. Speaking of the guy in the backyard, so do you have any tips for our listeners?
Oh yeah. So one, if you're gonna be out there grilling out and you're in Tucson, you gotta get some shade. So you need some sort of, it gets hot, you know, it gets super hot. You know, we do some outdoor kitchen stuff, but there's a lot of folks that do. But yeah, man, some shade. Yeah, that makes a world difference. But yeah, if I could give anybody any tips, I'd say if you're looking to purchase a grill, think about the number of people you're grilling for. If it's just you and the family, you know, something small, but if you have a few guests over, you probably want something where you can accommodate who you're grilling to. Mm. And then the other big portion of that is like, what do you like to do? I mean, are you into grilling burgers? Are you into grilling, you know, steaks? You want something that can get hot, hold that heat so you can get that sear on that steak. Mm-hmm. You want something that you can manage the fire and be able to, if your fire is too hot, get the meat away from the fire or drop it back down to the fire if the coals are getting too low. You know, so when you're shopping around, you might go out to Home Depot or somewhere like that and see a nice grill and you're like, yeah, that's a good investment. It's going to last about a year, year and a half, and then you're going to be out looking for another one.
Right.
You know, so, and that's the whole thing, you know, learn how to build a good fire, learn seasonings, meats. You know, you can go out and get a steak that's tough. We use Dale's marinade on our steaks, put them in that bag for about half hour, take them out, and they're as tender as any steak you've got in an expensive restaurant. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's experimentation. It's how much, you know, what's your grill, how well it holds the heat, how does it filter the grease away, can you get the meat away? All kinds of factors involved. You know, it's about practice too, getting out there and spending time with that grill and learning how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So anyway, yeah, I mean, those are great tips. Just kind of know what kind of equipment you need. And then once you do get that equipment, learn that equipment. And then the bottom line is like, hey, figure out how you want to season it. And so, yeah, those are all great tips, David. Really appreciate it.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And I'll be in touch. We have a very interesting guest on our program next week. We have Mark Lennox, owner and operator of Coming Home Healthcare. He's going to talk to us about home healthcare services and also, of course, barbecue. So we look forward to having Mark on the show next week. Please tune in. We really appreciate you joining us today on KVOI 1030 The Voice. Get your barbecue on with Ken. Thank you and take care.